views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and we're going to help you experience some really groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. This show runs twice each month, and we're so lucky that every time we have some of the foremost experts on organizations, leadership, and culture come together to help us understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. And today I am really, really excited to have Dr. Donna Hicks with us, and we're going to be talking about how to lead with dignity. And this perspective on our larger organizational cultures and culture in general can help us more easily understand how to really create brilliant organizations and what sometimes holds us back from doing that. So let me introduce Donna Hicks. Donna is an associate at the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs at Harvard. And she has been involved in numerous diplomatic conflict resolution efforts around the world, including projects in the Middle East, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Colombia, Cuba, and Northern Ireland. She is currently the vice president of Ara Pacis, an Italian organization sponsored by the Italian Foreign Ministry. And they're currently involved in a dignity restoration project in Syria and Libya. She was a consultant to the BBC, where she co-facilitated a television series called Facing the Truth with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, which aired in the United Kingdom and on BBC World. She has taught conflict resolution at Harvard, Clark, and Columbia Universities. Dr. Hicks conducts training seminars in the Dignity Model, which we'll be talking about today, a human-centered approach to rebuilding conflict relationships and to creating a culture of dignity in a variety of settings. In the corporate world, in healthcare, in education, faith communities, and nonprofit organizations. She is the author of the book Dignity, Its Essential Role in Resolving Conflict, which was published in 2011. And her second book, Leading with Dignity, will be published in 2018. Welcome, Donna.
Oh, thank you, Claudette.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too.
Yeah. So, you and I, when we were had our conversation a couple of weeks ago, we're really starting to talk about this idea of leading with dignity, which I know is the focus of your next book and a lot of your current work. And one of the things that we had touched on was the importance of creating a culture of dignity in the workplace. And I wondered if we could start there. Like, what do you notice when organizations are doing that well, creating a culture of dignity in the workplace?
Yeah, well, let me give you a little bit of backstory to this because, you know, as my bio indicates, most of my work in the past had been on focused on trying to resolve conflicts in these most difficult parts of the world, in the Middle East and, you know, all over. And what I discovered working with parties in conflict was that there was this underlying desire on both sides of the divide to be treated with dignity. Yet that conversation never took place. They always talked about the political issues that were dividing them. And so I just felt, because I'm a psychologist and I tend to tune into those kinds of non-spoken conversations because they're really emotionally very volatile and they can rip through a negotiation just like a hurricane, like an emotional hurricane. And I realized that this dignity issue really had to be addressed. And so, very long story short, I wrote the book that you just cited, the dignity book, because I felt that this topic of dignity was at the heart of these conflicts. And so I wrote the book, and lo and behold, it really captured the attention of people in the corporate world, in organizations of all kinds, in healthcare, in education. And what I realized was that this wasn't a political issue or an international conflict issue, this issue of dignity, but this is an issue where for all human beings. And it shows up, the dignity concerns show up whenever people congregate. So in the workplace, which is what I'm focusing all my attention on now with the Leading with Dignity book, is trying to help people recognize the importance of dignity, of being treated as if we mattered, and how fragile that concept is for all of us. Because boy, when somebody treats us badly, like unfairly, or discriminates against us because of something to do with our identity, or fails to acknowledge who we are and what kind of work we've done and how we've contributed, all of these, what I call dignity violations, can create a toxic work culture where people are walking around, afraid to be their authentic selves. And typically what I discovered in my first adventure into the corporate world was that 80% of the people whom I interviewed said that they didn't feel safe to speak up when something bad happened to them. And especially, they didn't feel safe to speak up to their supervisors or their bosses, whoever, their managers. And I realized that, there was an epidemic going on in this one big corporation that I was working with. And because people felt that their dignity was being violated all the time, and they had no way of addressing it. And so this is where I got this idea, Claudette, that we really have to focus not just on the individual and interpersonal relationships in a workplace. I mean, that's mm-hmm. really important to learn how to honor each other's dignity, but the system, the whole systemic level of the organization, what I call the culture of dignity, really is where we have to begin with trying to promote an environment where people do feel safe to speak up, where if something bad happens to them and they feel humiliated or they feel violated, that they have a way, that they have a way to speak up to their bosses. So, I mean, that's basically the background there, and I'll just let you respond to that.
Oh, thank you so much. And I think that was so important and helpful to hear the background on this, and tie it back to your earlier work. And one of the things that really struck me as you were sharing that story is that people have no, and I know it sounds like part of a lot of what you're working on now is giving people a way to address these dignity violations, but just thinking about what it's like to be in an organization, and as most of us have at some point in our careers, in which we feel that our dignity has been violated and we feel it is not psychologically or emotionally safe, right, to bring it up.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what are some of the ways that you've been able to help organizations start to have those conversations?
Well, first of all, what I discovered in my, in the process of writing my book, I thought, all I have to do is go and, search for dignity and look in the literature about what's been written about dignity, and I'll figure out a way to apply it. But Claudia, I was so shocked to realize when I did my research that there was nothing practical written about dignity. There mm-hmm. were philosophical debates. The philosophers were going wild. I mean, they had, and they did a wonderful job, the philosophers, mm-hmm. in trying to define it and, show the history of it and all that. But that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for a way to use this concept of dignity to actually repair relationships. And so I wanted something practical. And mm-hmm. because I couldn't find it, I had to create it. Mm-hmm. So I went around and interviewed people all over the world. And I started by asking them to tell me about a time when you felt your dignity had been violated. And you wouldn't believe the stories that I heard. You just mm-hmm. wouldn't believe. And the interesting thing about it was it didn't matter where I was, whether I was in Asia or Africa or South America, the stories were all similar. So what I came up with, ways of, you know, operationalizing what dignity is, meaning ways to make it really concrete and usable. So I ended up with these 10 elements of dignity, which are 10 ways that people feel that they want their dignity honored. So, for example, the first element of dignity is wanting your identity accepted no matter who you are. And mm-hmm. then there's you know, recognition. We all yearn for recognition of our unique qualities and our way of life, and also recognition of the good work that we've done. And the third one was acknowledgement, giving people, making sure that we give people their full attention, our full attention by listening to them, hearing what they have to say, and, you know, just validating their experiences. Inclusion is a big one. People mm-hmm. want a sense of belonging. They really want a sense of belonging. And safety, I've already alluded to.
Right.
This was the one in the corporate world that most people felt violated. So safety,
definitely.
Fairness, independence, understanding, benefit of the doubt. And people want to be finally apologized to when something bad happens to them. So what I do first, I mean, this is a long way around answering your question, but I do what I call an educational campaign in an organization. So from the top of the leadership, and this is why I'm focusing on leadership, because the leadership, number one, has to be open and willing to understanding all of this, you know, like the 10 elements of dignity. They have to be willing to take this on as an important aspect of their organizational culture. And because, you know, I mean, the fact that there are lots of conflict resolution programs in corporations and people in HR addressing this stuff, but this lens of dignity seems to resonate so much. And there's just I can't even tell you how much I've learned about it since doing my research and how applicable it is to the workplace.
It is so incredibly applicable. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to actually share a quick story I had with your work, Donna, that I don't know that I've shared with you. And we can talk more about, like, yeah, the educational campaign and the leadership piece, which is so incredibly important. So you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back to continue this really, really interesting conversation. Stay tuned.
Tune in to the hit show Master's Chambers with your trusted friend, Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to the Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Do you you want to relax more, feel happier, and be more confident? Do you want to have more success in your life? Dave Dodge has some easy, effective methods to help you release your anxiety, worry, fear, depression, and even physical pain. Tune in to Stress Buster Radio with Dave Dodge every second Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. For more information on how Dave can help you release your stress, visit StressBusterRadio.com. Skype and phone sessions are available.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
On Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, talking with my guest today, Donna Hicks, for those of you who are just joining us. And Donna and I have been talking about how to lead with dignity. And we were just in the middle of a really interesting conversation about how you start working with companies and workplaces, right, around incorporating these 10 elements of dignity, right, working with leaders and starting an educational campaign.
Yeah, well, first of all, Claudette, I just want to say a couple of other things that are important. And that is that, first of all, people have to want to have this concept integrated into their, you know, work environment. So the leadership team really has to be the ones who say, look, we've got some problems in our workplace. We've got some conflicts that have been very difficult to resolve. And we think that maybe, you know, after I talk to them and interview the leaders, we say, you know, well, look, maybe there are some underlying dignity issues here that are fueling these conflicts, because they don't seem to be, amenable to other kinds of conflict resolution approaches. And usually what happens when people call me in, when an organization calls me in, it's basically the last resort. They've tried other things. They've tried different methods. They've tried interest-based, you know, negotiations to solve the problems. And but they, for some reason, the conflicts persist. So first of all, they have to recognize, number one, that maybe there is something deeper going on. And number two, as I said, I launched what I call an educational campaign, because even though dignity is something that we all want, you know, we want to be treated as if we mattered. We want to be treated as if we're something of value. And when we're not, we're really miserable and unhappy, not only in our workplace, but, you know, in all of our relationships. So I start, you know, sometimes it takes weeks to finish this educational part of it, because, you know, even good people with good intentions without dignity consciousness can do great harm. So, I mean, I'm spend the first, as I said, the first part of my intervention is always just telling people about what dignity is, sharing with them these 10 elements of dignity, sharing several other other building blocks of the dignity model, which you referred to earlier. I wanted to share something with your listeners that I found to be so shocking about dignity. I did some research and discovered some people, Matt Lieberman actually, and Naomi Eisenberg in UCLA. They have done their affective neuroscientists, and they did a study where they showed that they put people through in brain scans and then showed different scenarios and watched what happened in their brain during exposure to these different scenarios. Yeah, there's amazing work being done by this couple in UCLA. But what they found was that when people experienced a physical injury, it shows up in the brain in the most ancient part of our emotion, the part of the brain that deals with emotions and is the center. It's called the amygdala in our limbic system. And so but that makes sense. You know, if you break your arm or something, it's going to hurt like crazy. And yes, it's going to show up in that ancient pain center. But the interesting thing that they found was that when people felt rejected, when people felt, that they weren't being included, all of these psychological, what I call dignity violations, that injury shows up in the brain in exactly the same area as a physical wound. So, you know, when people have their dignity violated, it's not just all in their head, right? You know, how many times have we heard that, oh, that's just all in your head? Well, it's in your brain because the brain doesn't know the difference between being treated badly, you know, being treated as having your dignity violated and a physical wound. So, that was a showstopper for me.
That is a showstopper, isn't it? To really have people start to understand that, when we have an emotional injury or a dignity violation, that is it's just as significant, if not more, than breaking your arm, right?
Physical wound. But think about this. Think about what we do when we have a physical injury. Well, what do we do? First thing, you know, what somebody once said when I asked, what do? They said, well, we cry. Yes, we do cry, but we have an entire medical system set up to, you know, we have an emergency room. We have 911 calls come and take us to the hospital if it's really serious. But with a wound to our dignity, we don't have such a fancy setup like that. And people suffer silently most of the time when they've been mistreated or when they've been, you know, treated badly by someone. It's a kind of a silent suffering. And so I think that a wound to our dignity, even though the brain experiences them in the same way, I think they're worse than physical wounds. Because at least with a physical wound, you get some attention, right? You say, people say, oh, you poor thing, you know, you broke your arm or you have cancer or whatever. We get all kinds of sympathy. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen when we're humiliated. It just doesn't happen that way. It's a very silent suffering.
So silent suffering, and it seems often when people do talk about it, like you said, like just, you know, get over it, right? This is work. Get over it. Move on. One thing you mentioned a few minutes ago that just struck me was dignity consciousness. And that's just, I thought that was, it's beautiful, right? Dignity consciousness. And I was curious about when you work in organizations, there's leaders have recognized there's an issue and you've started the educational campaign and introduced the 10 elements of dignity and gone through that. I'm curious, do you sometimes have people who say, oh, like I've been searching for this and I couldn't put my finger on what this was? Yeah.
See, that's exactly what happens. And it's not just in the workplace. No, even if I'm just giving a talk, people say, the audience always says, I knew I walked away from that interaction with my boss feeling bad, but you put, a name to it. I had my dignity violated. And the unusual thing that happens with people who learn this vocabulary, learn how to talk about it, is that it tends to validate their experiences. You know, instead of sort of going inside internally and just hiding, people are able to, to voice it and say, look, no wonder I feel so bad. That person just, treated me unfairly, or that person just discriminated against me, or, whatever the violation, because again, there's 10 ways that we can be violated. And just having a name to label it, to say, well, my safety was violated there. You know, it was frightening to me to be humiliated at a staff meeting in front of everybody. I was terrified that, that people basically freeze and shut up. Either that or they fight like crazy. Either we withdraw or we fight under these circumstances. And, it just gives people a way to think about what happened to them so that they don't end up feeling bad about who they are. And because I always say to people, look, you're not bad. Something bad happened to you. And so reframing that, because we feel miserable when somebody violates our dignity. But I want people to be absolutely clear that it's what, something bad happened to them. It's the way someone treated you. And so this is another big piece of the educational campaign Claudette, because I can tell you, I've been doing this work now for a decade in organizations, and most people aren't even aware of their own inherent value and worth. You know, they're not even aware that they have this dignity. Only when it's injured do they figure it out. So a big part of this learning dimension of the work is just giving people this information to say, look, you know, we're all born worthy. Every single one of us is born and has value and worth. And this is, you know, when I give a talk, I have this lovely slide of a beautiful infant baby. And I say to folks, look at this beautiful baby. Is there any doubt in your mind that this child has inherent value and worth? And, you know, people see that. It's, you know, yeah, of course we were born this way. And, but the other thing that another part of the basic principles of this is to recognize, even though we're all born worthy, we're also born vulnerable to having that worth violated. So just like we see, you know, with this little infant baby, we see how vulnerable and precious this little one is physically. Well, that little one's dignity is equally at peril if it's not being treated right. You know, so it's just a way for folks to get a grasp on something that they've been living with their entire lives and not really knowing, well, is that why I feel depressed? Is that why I've got anxiety? You know, I mean, there's a lot of medical reasons why people are depressed and anxious, but so many people just exhibit these symptoms of depression and anxiety because they don't understand their own worth. They don't get this piece.
And so they don't get this piece. Yeah.
That they are worthy no matter what. I mean, they, you know, look, we all, our behavior is subject to scrutiny, all of us, and we can mess up and we can treat others badly, but it doesn't mean that we're not worthy. And so this is one of the first steps, is just introducing the idea, telling people that we have this inherent value and worth, but that we're also inherently vulnerable. And there's a reason why we hurt so much when someone mistreats us.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that, really, I mean, it's such a profound message and such an important thing for people to begin to internalize. So we are actually going to take a quick break and then come right back to this conversation. And then also one thing I want to make sure we touch on is why leaders don't always lead with dignity. Because I think that's so important as well. So sure. I'm Claudette Rowley. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. And when we come back, Dr. Donna Hicks and I will continue this conversation about dignity and worth. Stay tuned.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and if you're just joining us, my guest today is Dr. Donna Hicks, and we are talking about leading with dignity. We've been having a really, really fascinating conversation. Donna, before we dive back in, would you like to share your contact information with listeners in case they'd like to get in touch?
Sure. My website address is drdonnahicks.com, and it's all lowercase, drdonnahicks.com. And there's a lot of information there. These 10 elements of dignity, you can download them. There's a PDF. And there's a lot of information about if you're interested in having a consultation or so. I think that would be the best place to go. And of course, the book is on there as well. The first book, which really lays out the basic ideas about dignity, which is this educational campaign that I'm talking about.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And one thing I forgot to mention earlier in the show, Donna, is I may have mentioned to you in a previous conversation that I actually heard you speak a few years ago at a local conflict resolution organization chapter
uh-huh.
in the Boston
yeah.
area. And I was one of the reasons I went is because I was so intrigued by this idea of dignity. You know, you were talking about
yeah.
your book, and you gave the handout, the 10 Elements of Dignity handout. I do a lot of organizational development consulting and working with teams. And so I copied the handout and just started giving it out to the team.
Good.
I worked with them saying, you should read this book and let's talk about these 10 elements of dignity, you know. And of course, it still had, you know, your name and everything on the bottom. It was your work. And
sure.
And folks really responded, like you said, mm-hmm. we've never even thought yeah. about dignity. Oh, I had no idea that fairness, you know, if something's unfair, it's a dignity violation. And it does bring, as you've been saying, it brings something into so many workplaces that they have no consciousness of, right?
Well, and
don't.
The thing is, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason why they have no consciousness of it. Because, you know, as I told you in the beginning, I went looking for answers about dignity and there was nothing out there. It was a shock to me. Because
you're a pioneer.
You know, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I think my biggest contribution is just giving people a language to talk about it. Because the truth is, Claudette, everybody knows this. I mean, but it might not be necessarily conscious, you know, or that's why I talk about developing dignity consciousness, because mm-hmm. we know it in our gut. We know it deep inside of us, but we may not know how to talk about it. So the work that I feel that I have to contribute is to help people end a kind of suffering, a needless sort of suffering, because number one, we just need to learn this. And, you know, you asked me before the break, why leaders don't lead with dignity. And it's not because they're bad people. In fact, mm-hmm. I would say hands down, the leaders with whom I've worked and all over, you know, the spectrum of healthcare and corporate world and education and faith communities, they're all great people. but they simply haven't been exposed to this idea of the vulnerability that we all of us human beings have when our dignity is violated. And so it's just really developing a social consciousness. You know, it's a way of of treating each other, because one of the things that I've found is that once people do develop an awareness of this and they internalize, like you said, they internalize the elements of dignity, it's magic the way relationships improve. Once you start, you know, treating people, making them feel a sense of belonging, or treating them fairly, or giving people the benefit of the doubt and trying to seek deeper understanding, these are all ways to improve a relationship, even a relationship that's good. But certainly it can help repair a relationship that's broken, you know, under the weight of conflict. And so, you know, in terms of why leaders don't do this, well, there is nowhere where they're exposed to this. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm doing also, not only educating in corporations and in organizations, but I'm in schools now. I've got a few projects in some private schools. One is La Jolla Country Day School out in San Diego. They have completely embraced the dignity model, and they try to create a dignity culture out there among their faculty and students. They have it's integrated into their curricula. And anyway, there's several schools here and there really trying to integrate this as a, you know, as a basic building block of their kids' social development. And, you know, we've ignored this for so long, we in the academic world. And finally, I was just giving a talk yesterday to a group of academics who completely understand that we've missed this piece in our education. Mm-hmm. We've missed. And there's a great educator. His name is Sir Kenneth Robinson, and he was the first to point out that education, that we human beings live in two worlds. We live in the world around us, right? And education is really good at introducing us to ideas about how to navigate the world around us. But we also live in the world within us. There's these two worlds that we exist in as human beings. And education, he says, has failed our youth and all of us by not focusing on the world within. And this is where dignity lives. Dignity lives inside of us, our sense of how valuable we think we are, you know, how good a person do we think we are. These are all dignity issues. And when we are treated badly, the first thing to go is our sense of worth. But I'm trying to work with people to say, look, just because you were treated badly does not mean that you're unworthy, because this is the source of so much many mental health problems. And it's just heartbreaking to me, because the solution is really rather simple. The solution is, you know, helping people see, holding up a mirror, helping them see that they're worthy. And the other thing that education has failed all of us in doing is helping us concretize what this looks like. So now with the 10 elements of dignity, we have a way of teaching this to kids. You wouldn't believe how children respond to this, Claudette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adults in the workplace respond instantly. Like you asked me, isn't this something that they say, oh, this is it, this is it? I hear everything. Time, but kids get this, you know, because kids, they know when people are mistreating them almost better in some ways than adults, because we've figured out all sorts of ways to cover up those insults, right? And then to ignore
them. Right, justify them. Right.
These little kids, they get it. They get it right away. And, you know, they're just jumping for joy, these little ones, learning that, oh my gosh, you mean I am really worthy? Even if somebody, Billy, treats me badly and bullies me, that doesn't mean that I'm bad.
Right.
So it's, you know, basic fundamental education that all of us deserve, and leaders especially, because, you know, we want leaders that we can trust. We want a work environment that feels safe. We want to be able to think of our work environment as an opportunity for our own development, for us to get creative and expansive, and, you know, to think outside the box. And this is what corporations want, right? They want their employees to be creative. But yet, if the culture works against that, where it's a dignity violating culture, you're going to get people shut down. They're not going to want to open up and be expansive. They're too afraid of that. They're afraid of what the consequences might be. So back to our original question about, you know, how to set up this culture. Well, first of all, again, it's giving everybody there, everybody in the company, an understanding of what dignity is. You know, it takes a few weeks to get everybody. It's like you go into a classroom and you learn everything about your dignity.
What a great class.
Oh my God, it's a great class. People, yeah. You know, adults, people in the workplace love it because it also gives them a way to discuss with others. And we talked about this a little bit. You know, what do you do when somebody violates your dignity? Do you just ignore it? Do you, you know, sweep it under the carpet and say, oh, that wasn't, you know, that person doesn't mean that much to me? No, one of the things I do is help people and defending their dignity. And we have because Claudette, this doesn't come naturally, this stuff. You know, we really have to work at it. If we left it to our own natural devices, we would ignore it. You know, we avoid confrontation. We humans don't like to, you know, go to people and raise these issues. It goes against our grain.
So it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. And it's a skill that has to be developed just like anything else that we learn. So, because I always say that, you know, we might be born with dignity, but we're not born knowing how to act like it.
Great. So, what a great distinction. There's so much to talk about here. I think we're going to skip our break and keep going.
Let's do it.
Well, absolutely. One of the questions I was curious about of the 10 elements, have you found that there are any that are easier or more challenging for organizations and workplaces to work with? Has there been any sort of pattern at all?
Yes, because, you know, most organizations now have diversity programs. Most organizations, you know, it's like part of their, you know, HR imperatives that you have to have dignity training. Diversity training. Mm-hmm. So already people have a consciousness about how harmful it is when you treat somebody, discriminate against someone because of their race, their religion, their ethnicity, you know, sexual orientation, all of that. So most people have that consciousness, but what they don't do is take it to the next level to say, it's very harmful, and it's harmful to your dignity as a human being when someone discriminates you just simply because you belong to a certain group or a race or a religion. So it's like the next step. You know? So the ground is really quite fertile with all of the diversity work that that organizations do. But taking this to the next level is, you know, it's because it's everybody. It's not just people who have different, cultural backgrounds and so on. This is about every single human being. This is about how each and every one of us, no matter what color we are, what religion, we all, as human beings, we react this way to having our dignity violated. So, you know, there is that readiness already, or ripeness, maybe I should say, a ripeness for this to take hold. And I think the hardest part, let me tell you before we run out of time, I think the hardest part for people in accepting this, you know, the teachings about how to create a culture of dignity, the hardest part is for the leadership to accept that they have to invite feedback from their employees. They have to tell people, because safety, remember, people don't feel safe to speak up. But this is why I start with leadership teams, because they have to learn, just like anything else, any other skill, they have to learn how to accept feedback from the people, from their direct reports, from people who work under them. Because if 80% of people are terrified to speak up to their boss, this is where we've got to do the work. And the boss has to be skilled enough and really secure enough in her or his dignity, in her sense of self-worth or his sense of self-worth, to be able to say, look, it's okay. You know, I really want you to tell me how my behavior is affecting you. Because the fact is, you know, we all have blind spots. Every single one of us. That's part of what it means to be human. we all see, you know, and the thing about blind spots is that others can see our blind spots. We can't see them, but other people can. So we need the feedback. If we're going to be in a leadership position, we need to be able to say to people, to our direct reports, look, you know, it's okay. I know that I might be doing something that I'm not aware of. And you can be doing me a big favor, you know, if you help me see something that I can't see. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, half of my, I mean, big chapter, a couple of chapters in my book is about how to technically go about doing this in a skilled way, you know. In the words matter significantly. So, for example, when you're giving feedback, let's say you're a direct report giving feedback to your boss, you know, one thing that's really, really works well is to say to the person, well, you look, you know, my working relationship with you matters a lot to me. I really want to keep our relationship healthy and strong. And something that happened last week in the staff meeting really felt uncomfortable to me, and I felt like it was a violation of me. And I need to talk to you about this because I want our relationship to stay strong. I don't want this interfering. Because, oh my gosh, you know, you, Claudette, you cannot imagine how many people I've interviewed who have such deep resentment toward their bosses, toward their managers or their supervisors, and they just keep it inside. And so it's not an authentic relationship. It's one that's based in resentment. And, you know, they think, wow, I got to just suck this up. This is just the way it is around here.
Yeah, one of the things.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
One of the things that I often, when I'm in organizations and do a lot of work on, you know, building trust and things like resolving conflict and communication, and sometimes us, like, in, similar to the scenario you gave, someone will say to me, I'm having an issue with my boss, right? Or I'm having an issue with direct report, whatever. And this is what the issue is, and they'll go into it. And so often one of my first questions is, well, have you talked to them about it? Mm-hmm. And almost always, like, well, no, I haven't. I haven't talked to them about it. Like, I don't know if I want to do that. Isn't there another way to go?
Right.
Yeah. And I know it's because they don't feel safe, right? Or they may not have all the skills at the moment that they need, right, to be confident.
All of the above.
And it is, like you said, for people to move past that resentment, to have those conversations that are sometimes really hard and uncomfortable, but so important, makes such a difference, doesn't it, in restoring dignity?
So yes, absolutely. And I can't emphasize enough how much the skill has to be developed. It's not, there's a reason why we avoid it. That's because we're unskilled. We haven't been taught. You have a couple of things you got to do. The leader has to set the stage and set the tone and say, it's okay to give me feedback. And the people whom they're leading have to be educated in how to give feedback, because there's no, you know, it doesn't come naturally. This stuff really needs some skill development. And, you know, it feels very scary to people in the beginning. You know, this one woman said to me when I was explaining that I was going to help her and her colleagues give feedback to their boss. She said, are you kidding? That would be career suicide for me to give my boss. And, you know, they said, what about my performance review? So this is why I say to them, look, we have already, your boss is already on board with this. And that's why I'm saying that working with that top level, that leadership team, is the first step in the process of creating a culture of dignity. So, but, you know, giving people these tools, helping people navigate through these really complicated relationships that happen at work, you know, because we haven't even talked about just, you know, colleague to colleague, you know, employee to employee, lateral relationships, they're fraught with problems. And, you know, so all of these relationship issues, these conflicts, just take away from the productivity, and they take away from employee engagement. It takes away from, you know, it just takes up so much time. And one last thing I have to share with your listeners is that what typically happens is that when these violations don't get discussed, and, you know, like you said, did you go talk to your boss? When they don't do that, what ends up by happening is that negative energy has to go somewhere. And it usually ends up in the gossip mill.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. She's going to say gossip. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, when I went into a couple of corporations, the gossip was just wild. I mean, if you tapped into that just for, you know, a little bit, you'd hear everything you need to hear about what the dignity violating norms of the culture are. And there's names, they put names to them. And, you know, so, but that's, you know, one, I did work up here at a hospital up here. And one of the leaders said to me, this is one of our biggest problems, is the gossip. And I said, well, okay, that only means to me, that means to me that people don't feel safe to talk about this to the people who actually are doing the violating. So this is the heart of and soul of creating a culture of dignity is getting people, number one, educated, and number two, you know, breaking through these barriers that we feel inside of us that are holding ourselves back, these instincts that say, oh, my God, don't do that. You're going to get harmed even more. We have to break through those things, and we have to help people, you know, give people ways to discuss these things that and the other thing is, once you give somebody feedback, I find 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, people end up feeling closer to the person who had violated them because they feel a sense of freedom in their relationship now. They can be authentic, you know? They're not holding back because they're fearful.
Right. That authenticity piece, right? We can now have an actual relationship with each other.
Actual relationship. Yeah, a real relationship.
Open,
we're not hiding. You know, I mean, this is the thing. We hide so much. There's so much we hide in the work environment because we're afraid we're going to be exposed, or our incompetence is going to be exposed. Or, I mean, so much energy gets wasted by hiding what we think won't look presentable to our bosses.
Absolutely right. And without the safety in place, right, it's really hard to stop that. Yeah, it's hard to stop doing it when there's not safety.
Right.
And the dignity is not in place.
The first part is creating a safe enough environment so that all these difficult issues can be discussed. And, you know, with having the tools, having the 10 elements, and having a way to describe what happened to you in real specific terms is so helpful in trying to repair the relationship.
I agree. Being able to literally put language to it, like you said, and, you know, to give people a language that they, most of us really don't have, you know, haven't had until we get exposed to your work, is really invaluable. And we just have a couple of minutes left. So I wanted to ask you, is there, I mean, you've shared so much with us today and it's been so helpful. And in addition to that, is there a specific message, you know, one or two sentence message you'd really like to leave listeners with?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I think somebody asked me yesterday I was at a conference yesterday. I was giving a talk about dignity. And somebody said to me, you know, Donna, you have such a passion for this work. You know, you are just like, and I love it. Believe me. I mean, maybe you could hear it in my voice trying to explain it here.
Absolutely.
I just feel like the message here is so important. And I feel that way so deeply because, you know, I spent most of my life feeling unworthy. I spent most of my life, and there's a reason, you know, why I'm so sensitive to these issues, because I fought this like crazy my whole life. I never thought I was smart enough, wasn't good enough. You know, how did I possibly land here at Harvard? They must have made a mistake, you know, all of that. So this work, once you really understand how deep this dignity issue is, how we all yearn to be treated as something of value. And if you've ever had experiences where you don't feel that way, this work, honestly, is kind of revolutionary for people because it puts the emphasis right back in our hands, because what we need to know is that our dignity is in our hands only. And no matter how badly someone treats us, it doesn't mean we're not worthy. And I learned that lesson, and I can tell you, I experienced so much more joy in my life. I mean, it sounds kind of trite and, you know, kind of corny, but it's absolutely the truth. I mean, I feel like I could go through anything now knowing that my dignity is intact and that I'm the caretaker of my dignity. And not only my dignity, but your dignity as well. So it's a real joyful experience, and I want your listeners to have that experience too.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Donna. Well, that was such a beautiful closing message around, yeah, we have our dignity in our hands. And, you know, with that sort of worth and dignity, we do experience so much more joy. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing all that you did with us. And for all of your really great work in the world. For those of us, those of you listening, again, Donna's book is Dignity by Donna Hicks. It's a really, really wonderful book. I want to thank you all for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. Please join me on the second and fourth Fridays of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And have a great week and look forward to seeing you here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.